spirit-controlled speech blesses, but the flesh-controlled tongue brings ruin.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Folks, I have to admit that when I was a kid, I was told on more than one occasion to watch your mouth. Anybody ever said that to you? Watch your mouth? Why was I told that? Well, again, I know this is probably very difficult for some of you to believe, but I had a tendency to be a little bit of a smart aleck. Anybody think that's hard to believe? And so I would be told, watch your mouth. Well, today, all of us are going to take on the collective challenge of watch your mouth as we consider what the book of Proverbs has to say about our speech. As we have examined the book of Proverbs, we've seen that there is this major theme of wisdom and the call to wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, we're saying it is the ability to discern, to judge what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting. And that the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. That's right. If we are going to be wise men and women, it starts with fear of the Lord, a fear, that profound awe and respect for the nature and the power of God. And yes, a sobering acknowledgement that God's holiness, His judgment, His discipline are a consuming fire. We've looked at characteristics of wisdom, that wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom fears the Lord and pursues righteousness. And we've seen, too, that folly is as folly does, that folly does not fear the Lord and pursues what it wants and what it thinks is best. We've said, too, that Proverbs covers many different subject matters, dozens of them. We can't possibly cover them all, but there are a few that it has quite a bit to say about, and those are the ones we're going to focus on. Last week we looked at the call for sexual integrity, faithfulness, and ordering our sexual lives according to God's will and God's standard in His Word. And this week we are taking up the subject of speech. What we say, how we say it, and sometimes the wisdom of not saying something. So today the collective challenge then for all of us is to watch your mouth. And the message I want us to take away from this today is that spirit-controlled speech blesses, but the flesh-controlled tongue brings ruin. Sounds a little bit like a proverb right there, isn't it? Well, it is. It's just kind of tweaking it a little bit. So the spirit-controlled speech blesses. The spirit-controlled speech is that which is under the control of the Holy Spirit who indwells the believer. But the flesh-controlled tongue, that's that natural, sinful nature capacity within us, it brings ruin. So the call goes out to all of us then today to watch our mouths. If you have your Bibles, look with me at the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. We're going to look at a number of passages here today, but our main text is just this one verse, Proverbs 13, verse 3, that I think tells us a lot about the value of spirit-controlled speech and the danger of the flesh-controlled tongue. Proverbs 13, 3 says this, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And what is the basic principle that I think that comes out of that? And for all that we're saying today, again, it's what? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Be careful what you say, how you say it, when you say it, to whom you say it, and sometimes being careful not to say it at all. A mouth that is watched over and guided by wisdom brings life, both to the speaker and to the hearer. When a person's tongue is spirit-controlled, it speaks of life and good things and is good for that person saying it, but also then for the one who is blessed by that. On the other hand, the mouth of the fool, the speech of the fool, brings ruin, both to the speaker, the fool, and to those who are damaged by what he says. So this morning, we're going to take a quick overview of some of the main teachings of Proverbs about speech. First, we'll look at the characteristics of the mouth or the speech of the fool. And then we will consider some of the characteristics of the mouth or the speech of the wise. And finally, then, we, all of us, will be challenged to submit our mouths to the control of the Holy Spirit. So characteristics of the mouth of the fool, characteristics of the mouth of the wise, and then the challenge to submit our mouths to the control of the Holy Spirit. First, let's look at some of the characteristics of the mouth of the fool, the speech of the fool. Proverbs has quite a bit to say about this. I have just highlighted a few of them. First one we want to consider is this, is that the mouth of the fool invites ruin. Through how a fool speaks, when a fool speaks, what a fool says, invites ruin and destruction. Proverbs 10, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning." That is the wise. They speak wisely. "But a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment." A rod, maybe some of you, I know we don't do this too much anymore these days, but I'm old enough to remember at home, sometimes even in church, and even, yes, in school, when you got in trouble, maybe when you didn't watch your mouth, as I was prone to do from time to time, you might get a rod, which would be what? A paddle. A rod is an instrument of discipline or punishment. So wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. And verse 14 goes on to say, "Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin." So maybe it says it invites ruin. That by its speaking, the fool's speech, that reveals a heart, doesn't it? That Jesus said what? That the heart of a person is revealed through speech. And so the fool reveals his heart, reveals his folly, and invites ruin, judgment, destruction. So the mouth of the fool invites ruin. The mouth of a fool also can pierce hearts. Proverbs 12:18 says this, and I read this, I wonder if some of you are going to readily identify with this because you've known this pain. But Proverbs 12:18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless words pierce like a sword. Have you ever been on the receiving end of some of those reckless words? Someone wasn't really thinking about their saying, and they said something, and it just, boom, it felt like a dagger to your heart. Or maybe you've been the one who said those words that pierced the heart of another person. And when we say piercing a heart, we're talking in a painful, negative sense. There are some times when words pierce the heart, and it's a positive thing when it's truth and needs to be heard. But this is a destructive piercing of the heart. Reckless words pierce like a sword in the chest. So the fool, by his speech, by her speech, wounds the hearts of others with reckless and careless words. And to go along with that, then, too, crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The mouth of the fool, we'll see this more in a little bit here, is characterized by lying and deception. And that is something that can crush the spirit. Have you ever felt your spirit crushed by a lying tongue? You were told something, you earnestly believed that person, and then you found out it wasn't true, and you were devastated. So the mouth of the fool invites ruin or judgment. The mouth of the fool pierces hearts, wounds, damages the heart of a person, and can even crush that person's spirit. Proverbs also tells us that the mouth of a fool stirs up dissension. What is dissension? It's a disunity or a disharmony, isn't it? It's problems. Now, not problem isn't necessarily dissension, but problems can lead to dissension, where there is disharmony and disunity, that is people fighting and going after one another. Proverbs 16:28 says this: a perverse man or a fool stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A perverse man, a fool, stirs up dissension. Have you ever known someone who just seemed to live for going around stirring up problems among people, seemed to even take some measure of joy or delight in saying something to get people that are then arguing and fighting about it? The wicked heart of fallen man on display right there, isn't it? And so the perverse person enjoys that even, stirring up dissension, uses his mouth to create this disharmony and this disunity, this fighting. This fool is also then called a gossip. A gossip separates close friends. Anyone here ever been the subject or the victim of gossip? You know what that can do to friendships, don't you? Has anyone here been a gossip? Who's been the source of that? So the mouth of the fool uses that gift of speech to separate, to stir up and cause problems among people. Rather than being a force which brings healing and a tree of life, pierce the heart, crush the spirit, stir up dissension, separate close friends. And this mouth of the fool then that does that again invites judgment. I would say human judgment and divine judgment, certainly. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Have you ever wanted to give a beating to someone, to a fool? Maybe you didn't do it. Hopefully you didn't do it. Maybe you felt like it. Sometimes the fool, their speech, what they say, the harmful things they say, the hurtful things they say, not only brings strife then to others, but even to himself or herself. And their mouth invites a beating, that is judgment. And Proverbs 19:9 goes on to say, a false witness, that is a liar, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will perish. Now, some people are very skilled at lying. There's some that you know, someone who just cannot lie, no matter how hard they might try. They may lie, and you can just tell right off that they're just not very good at it. But other people, they're so good at it, you just believe it. Don't even question it. But God sees that. And you may think, boy, they got away with it. But God sees it and God knows. He says the false witness, the liar, will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will perish. that this is a characteristic, again, of the lost, of the foolish. God sees it, and God will bring judgment on that. And the mouth of the fool then will be his undoing, will be her undoing. Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Fool's mouth is his undoing. If something is your undoing, what? It just makes a complete mess of your life. It ruins, it destroys your life. He says, what those lying lips then too are a snare, like a snare to the soul. What is a snare? It's a trap. Gets a hold of them and ruins his or her own life. A trap for the soul. 3 final characteristics of the mouth of the fool found in Proverbs are: the mouth of the fool speaks before listening. I know no one here has ever done this. Well, at least one of us in this room has. Speaking before listening. Proverbs 18:13. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Answers before listening. In other words, what? Not truly listening to that person, but they're what? Already formulating your response and your argument or what you're going to say without truly listening to what that person says. Proverbs says that that's a characteristic of the mouth of the fool. The mouth of the fool doesn't carefully deliberate, it's just ready to spout forth without really listening. That happens all the time, doesn't it? Happens in a marriage. Happens in other family relationships. Happens in the workplace. In the neighborhood. Happens in church, doesn't it? Where people are eager to speak before listening. Characteristic of the mouth of the fool. Also then, the mouth of the fool deceives others. Deceives, lies. Proverbs 26:18-19 says, and I love the imagery here, "Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" Isn't that a great picture there of a crazy person, a madman, with these fiery arrows, these deadly arrows? His words are like these deadly arrows that go out and cause harm through his lies and deceptions to the neighbor. Maybe caught in the lie says, "I was only joking. Oh, I didn't really mean that." I think this also maybe has a little something to say about sometimes how we can kid one another, but maybe we're not entirely kidding or joking. Is there a firebrand or a deadly arrow in that? Proverbs 26:24-25 says, "A malicious man disguises himself with his lips." Sounds good. Seems to be saying the right things, but in his heart he harbors deceit. "Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for 7 abominations fill his heart." So a person can have a heart that is full of wickedness, full of deception, full of lies, but yet the speech can just sound so wonderful and so charming. I think we have a word for that, don't we? I think it's called politics, isn't it? Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." A lying tongue hates those it hurts. You know, when we deliberately deceive and lie, whether the proverb says, well, this is characteristic of the mouth of a fool, and that kind of person who uses a lying tongue to hurt others actually hates that person. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Finally, then, the mouth of a fool speaks hastily. That is, rashly. Speaks without thinking about it carefully, deliberating. Speak first, think later. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him." So the fool doesn't carefully deliberate on his or her words and just spouts it out. Anybody know someone like that? Doesn't think, just spouts it out. Now, I got to tell you, there is a place, there is an appropriate place for thinking through speaking. Do you know what I mean? I do that sometimes where trying to work through an issue or something, I think through it by talking about it with a person. But that's not the picture here. Picture here is someone who does not give careful thought. And just spouts it out and says harmful things, foolish things. There is more hope for a fool than for him. Is there any hope for a fool in the book of Proverbs? Not much, unless he repents, right? The person who speaks in haste has less hope than the fool. So those are some characteristics of the foolish person. Let's consider some characteristics of the wise person. We've been talking about speaking, and just as important as speaking is sometimes not speaking. The mouth of the wise knows when to be quiet. I like how Proverbs 10:19 expresses this, because you know what? I have seen it on a number of occasions in my life. I've seen the truth of this one. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." What? There are times when we just need to be quiet, because if we start speaking or keep speaking many words, oftentimes, what? Something's going to come out that in retrospect, we think, oh, shouldn't have said that. And there's a time then to be quiet and to hold our tongue. Proverbs 11:12 says, "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor." Derides, that is, he criticizes and tears down. "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue." You know, a person without judgment is eager to get out there and criticize and tear someone else down. But the wise person knows not to do that and knows to be quiet. Now, you know, there may be times when what a person may be saying about that neighbor is true. But does that mean that it needs to be expressed or said? Not necessarily. Proverbs 12:23 says, "A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly." Proverbs 17:28, I like this one, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." You know, as I read this, probably, you know, that sometimes you can be a fool, but if you don't speak, people don't know. You can be considered wise and even discerning if you hold your tongue, which I think this is a good parallel to a modern, and I don't remember who said this. It seems like something maybe someone like Mark Twain might have said. Somebody Google this, not now on your smartphone, but later. But I think it says, "Better to keep quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Mm-hmm. Someone look that up later, let us know. Sounds like a Mark Twainism. So. And then Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be quiet. And the wise person knows that. And then the mouth of the fool is beneficial to others. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." You know, that when a wise person speaks, what they say brings spiritual, emotional, psychological nourishment to the heart, to the mind. But not so the fool. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." How many of you appreciate a good compliment, sincere compliment? These are the pleasant words that are a honeycomb, that are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I don't know about you, but I can go a month on one good compliment. That's a hint, by the way. I'm just kidding about that. Thank you. They're called Skechers Shape-Ups, actually. I need them, but that's another story. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Then, too, the mouth of the wise person keeps confidences. You know that when you talk with this person, the wise person is going to be going spreading it around to other people. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." Are you glad to have someone in your life that you can talk to, that you can unloose the secrets of your heart and know that that person will keep them in confidence? Maybe you don't have someone like that, and you know how valuable it would be to have a person who keeps a confidence. The wise person keeps confidences. The mouth of the wise also brings healing. Proverbs 12:18 says, again, here's the other side of what we looked at before. "Reckless words pierce like a what? Like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing." The fool uses words to pierce hearts and wound and damage. But the wise person uses words to bring healing, hope, encouragement. Proverbs 15:4, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the what? Crushes the spirit." The mouth of the wise speaks truth. Proverbs 12:22, "The Lord detests lying lips." God hates lies. By the way, who is the number one trafficker in lies in the universe? Satan. Jesus says it's his native language, right? He's a liar and murderer from the beginning, and what? And when he speaks lies, he speaks his native language. What is the enemy's number one weapon or tool that he uses against you or me? Is the lie, isn't it? Getting us not to believe God's truth and God's word. Or maybe if he can't get us to deny the truth of God's word, maybe he can get us then to fail to apply or obey that truth that we know. Satan hates truth because he knows it's his undoing. So he traffics in lies, and God detests lies because he is truth, isn't he? So the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Mouth of the wise encourages, Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Boy, anybody had that? It just when you really needed, you were really beaten up and worn down, and someone came along and said just the right thing to you that you just felt like this love and energy just like poured into you. That's encouragement. To be encouraged means to what? To have courage put into you. So through the words of another person, that courage, that strength are put into you. You are encouraged. Last ones here, the mouth of the wise is conciliatory. Conciliatory is what? Is a conciliator, is a person who makes peace. Rather than stirring up dissension and hatred and bitterness, rather seeks to reconcile people and make peace. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, someone ever come to you, they were upset about something, and maybe they were misinformed, or maybe it was even right what they were saying. They had a right to be upset. And they came to you, they were upset, and they brought this to you, this wrath upon you. And so you responded with equal harshness, and that, of course, just brings nothing but light and love and joy, doesn't it? Now, what does it do? It brings more harshness. It stirs up anger. It makes things worse. But what? A gentle answer turns away wrath. The wise person does not return wrath with wrath, but takes that and deflects that wrath or that anger with gentleness. Maybe it's correcting. Or maybe it's saying, you know, you're right, and I'm sorry. Apologizing. The mouth of the wise is conciliatory. It seeks reconciliation and peace. The mouth of the wise then too brings joy. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Have you ever felt that wonderful feeling of when God has used you to bless someone through what you said to them? What joy there is in that. The mouth of the wise brings joy, not only to the one who hears that apt reply, but to the one who speaks it as well. Finally, then, the mouth of the wise thinks before speaking. Again, the opposite of that fool who doesn't think, just lets it all rip out. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. So the righteous person thinks before speaking, carefully weighs those answers, saying, well, is this the best way to express this? Is it really necessary to say it right now? The mouth of the wicked just gushes forth. Well, there are a lot of things to consider there. I wonder if the Spirit has put His finger on your tongue. And I want to close then by asking this question, which may sound a little strange. Who has your tongue? Who has your tongue? Why do I put it that way? Have you ever heard the, I'm sure you have, the expression, cat got your tongue? Now, of course, when we say that, it usually means what? That someone's being very quiet, they're not speaking. So we say what? Cat got your tongue? Well, I want to let you know, I've never really understood that expression. Has anyone here ever truly understood that expression? I know what it means, but I don't really quite understand what it is, because I've had cats around me for a long time. We had them growing up. I have one now, and I have to tell you, in all these years, I have never seen one of my feline friends attempt to deprive me or anyone else of their tongue. So I don't know why that expression is what it is. But I don't want to talk about a cat having your tongue. I wonder, does the Holy Spirit of God, does the Spirit have your tongue? Is it under His control? Or does the flesh, the sinful nature within you, have your tongue? Have control of what you say, how you say it, when you say it, why you say it? Galatians 5 talks about the need for us to live by the Spirit, that is to walk in faith and obedience to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to produce His fruit in us. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." It says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. How are these Galatians biting and devouring one another? By their tongue, by their speech. Then he goes on to say, verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. One of the desires of the sinful nature is to use this precious gift of speech to bring ruin and harm and pain to others. Paul tells us what the fruit of the sinful nature are. They're obvious. Some of those involving that speech. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. Or perhaps even more accurate, spirit control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, is spirit control over things, yes, like our speech. Finally, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, when we have blown it, when our speech or whatever has not been fitting or honoring to God, we need to get back in step with the Spirit. And how do we do that? By confessing our sin, submitting ourselves, yielding to the will of the Spirit and the will of God, seeking the Spirit's power, living by the power of the Spirit, keeping in step with Him, obeying Him. When we are obedient to Him, our speech will be wise, will be Spirit-controlled speech, which blesses and brings life, rather than the flesh-controlled speech which brings ruin, pain, destruction. I pray that the Holy Spirit has your tongue and has my tongue. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this precious gift of speech. Lord, how often it has been used to bless, to encourage, to build up others. And yet, though, Lord, that same power of speech can destroy, can tear down, can stir up dissension. God, may our mouths, may our tongues be instruments of righteousness in Your hands. We submit the control of our lives, and specifically this morning, Lord, we submit the control of our tongues to You. Help us, Lord, to speak those things which are honoring to You, uplifting and encouraging. And that even, Lord, when there needs be a word of rebuke, that it is said in the right way, at the right time. And Lord, teach us when to hold that tongue, when not to speak, when even if what we may say is true, perhaps that's not the time to say it. Holy Spirit, control our speech, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.